This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Is it possible what you ask for is going to happen to the car? It's possible. So be careful that it doesn't. You don't make dua, as the Prophet ﷺ suggested, لا تدعوا على أنفسكم ولا أهليكم إلا بخير. Never ever make dua against yourself or your family unless you make dua with something good. Otherwise, the doors of heaven might be open and that will be accepted. Last point actually was mentioned here in regard to the subject of divorce. That's a longer discussion though, but to summarize it, if someone pronounces divorce in a state of ghadab, when they're angry, does it count? The majority of the fuqaha, they say it counts. If someone, instead of anger, mentions the word of divorce, it counts. However, other fuqaha, and one of the Shaykh al-Sabi Tamir rahimahullah as well, because it depends on the level of anger. So if a person reaches a level of ighlaq, like they can't even tell, they're completely lost it. In this case, nothing counts from what they're saying. However, there are certain liabilities can be taken into consideration if you break something, if you hurt somebody, but things such as talaq and otherwise, it doesn't count. But if someone was upset, not necessarily enraged, upset, and they pronounce talaq, then in this case, it counts talaq. Because again, they're still in control and they're still conscious of what they're saying. So this, in this case, it will count as a talaq for them. So make sure, inshallah, to teach people about this. Unfortunately, nowadays, people, they take this easily and they pronounce talaq right and left. And the funny thing is that they make fatwa for themselves afterwards. So probably a person would have maybe divorced his wife 100 times already. But when you ask them, says, well, I read in Google, yani, map, mashallah, even Google Maps, actually, that it actually doesn't even doesn't count as a divorce. So therefore, don't make those fatwas for yourself. These are very serious matters, subhanAllah. If something like this happened, you have to ask someone who can help with it, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from falling into the state of rage and anger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to speak the word of truth, whether we're so angry or pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala alam. We'll take, inshallah, a few minutes to see if there are any questions that came, inshallah, azza wa jal. If we can have the QR code on the screen, please. Jazakallah khair. Do you have any question here? Until we get a question from online, just go ahead. So if the question about reciting the Quran, do I have to recite out loud to count that I'm reciting the Quran, or can I just move my lips and it will be sufficient for me? Are we talking about in Salah or outside Salah? In Salah, if you're praying in Salah, you need to be quiet, just moving your lips. But if you're praying, if you're reciting outside of Salah, as long as you're not disturbing anybody around you, you should be okay to recite out loud enough for you to hear your recitation. Like, for example, if you're at home, then recite out loud, that's fine. But if you're reciting in the masjid and no one here, bismillah, raise your voice, that should be okay. But if you're reciting, you know, when other people are praying, or you know, you're disturbing other people trying to recite for themselves, then in this case, lower your voice down as much as possible. Unless it's part of the halaqah of the Quran that people are practicing out loud together, then that should be okay. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. Any questions? Go ahead. Say it again. So one of the books says what? There's no, actually, it's not appropriate to gather for the dua. If it's not done actually habitual, that's fine. You can bring people for make dua. Like, say, for example, you fast Mondays and Thursdays, for example. It's time for you to break your fast. Say, hey guys, I'm going to make my dua. Anyone wants to come and join me at home? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But to come to the masjid, for example, every single Friday, let's say after Asr, people come together to make that dua collectively. Now that becomes a bid'ah. But if there was an occasion, it's Ramadan, for example, a special occasion, Anas, he finished the Quran, brought his family to make the dua, that should be okay. Wallahu a'lam. Na'am. Yes, go ahead. So if someone passed away, we finish the Quran, we want to bring everybody to make dua for them, right? First of all, to recite the Quran for the dead is actually is not even from the sunnah. Because the Quran was revealed for the living, not for the dead. People should recite the Quran for themselves. But if people after the passing of somebody get together to make dua, now obviously at the time of the funeral and so on, that's fine to make the dua. But then every 3 days and 40 days and a year, they keep coming together to make the dua for the deceased in that fashion, that's not from our sunnah. As a matter of fact, it could be considered as na'i, and that would be bid'ah. Na'am. Was the advice repeated significantly or specifically actually for the man due to his personal nature like anger issues? That is a possibility. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you see, whenever people ask him a simple question, he gives different answers. So sometimes the answer is exclusively tailored for this individual. So perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew about this man to be someone who has issues with anger, so therefore he gave him the advice to be angry. But it also applies to everybody else as well too. I read in the Inner Secrets book that Uthman radiallahu anhu would read an entire Quran in one prayer, such as in unit of witr. How would he finish that prayer before the following Fard Salah? Wallah, I need to ask Uthman radiallahu anhu. How did he finish the Quran in Salat al-Witr before Fajr, let alone Isha and Maghrib, yani, right? So Allahu alam. It seems that maybe exaggeration in terms of, you know, how much of the recitation of the Quran would happen. But definitely you recite a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the messenger of Allah. When he prayed salat one rak'ah in tahajjud, what did he recite? He recited Al-Baqarah, Al-Nisa, then Al-Imran. You talk about 5-6 juz in one rak'ah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, amen. Okay, so some of the brothers and sisters there who were watching live streaming with us, they say it's the live stream stopped in the middle. But alhamdulillah, inshallah, the recording is here and it's going to be posted afterwards. You can watch from the beginning to the end, inshallah. So there's almost always a consequence for anger, sometimes long term. What does it mean to that a person is able to carry it into effect? Not understanding the question properly, to be honest with you. So when the Prophet was in the person's state of rage?
Yeah,
rage,
but doesn't act upon it.
Okay. Well, probably it means here that if you are in a state of rage and you're able to carry it into effect, meaning you can take that rage and do something, and eventually you can execute it. That's when you're going to be held accountable for it. But if you're able to do that, and then you still control yourself and not allow yourself to misbehave as a result of that anger, that's when you get the reward for controlling yourself. Wallahu a'lam. If I understand the question properly. When we say that the highest level of forgiveness for humans being nicer to them when they are regretful of their action, does that apply even when they are not regretful? Wouldn't that be like turning the other cheek? Well, obviously, when they're regretful, that's when a safh is it counts very well. But if someone, you forgive them and they don't care, what's the point? You forgive them and they say, well, I don't need your forgiveness. Well, I'm doing safh for you. Thank you very much, but I don't appreciate that. You did not do much. But at least what matters is that my actions is what I'm going to be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer for. So if they decide to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way they treat me, I will still obey Allah in the way I treat them back. If you're praying while sitting down for whatever reason, such as traveling on an airplane, do you need to go through the motions as far as ruku' and sujood, or do you just make face movement? You do actually motions, meaning you go down with the ruku' and then you go the sujood further down a little bit until your head maybe reaches the chair in front of you, or the seat in front of you. So you do these movements. But if you're unable, because you have to lay down, for example, in this case, facial movements would be sufficient. Okay, now we have a specific question about talaq words and so on. If a man said, we are over to his wife, does that mean that he had to divorce yani talaq? No, it doesn't count. Is it okay to sleep while someone reciting Quran? Yeah, that's fine. That is fine, inshallah ta'ala. So what does it mean to forgive someone? There are some people I'm still angry with after many years. May Allah make it easy for you. Why are you holding so much grudge all these years, Yani? You're ruining your own life. Seriously, Yani. It's just that the level of anger has decreased. You never forgave them then. Forgiving is it's when you feel better about yourself, not about them. Because if you don't feel better about yourself, you didn't forgive them. So make it easy on yourself and just let go. Post-forgiving, is it recommended to extend the hand to make things better with the other person? That's up to you. It depends who they are. I hope, inshallah, that always, having a much more, you extend the hand of peace is always better, definitely. What should we do if my wife gets angry? Make dua. Go to counseling, right? Obviously, it's a very general question, Jama'ah. It's a case-by-case scenario. But the whole idea is that do not ignore that. Do not ignore that. Really, you have to validate. You have to understand where this is coming from. Respond to how she feels, not what she says. That's very important. Wallahu a'lam. Khair, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Yes, sir.